Hi, this is Doug Smith with my Unplugged podcast for June 13th, Tuesday, 2006. And got a few items here. Thought I'd talk, give you a little story here first before I talk about something in design. Speaking of EMI, back when I was in the ninth grade, I made this Tesla coil. But it wasn't your average run-of-the-mill Tesla coil. This thing was powered by a pair of 811A transmitting tubes. And for those older ham operators, you know what those are, the big tubes, hundreds of watts each. And you could read a book by the light these things gave off. Had a 3B28 xenon gas rectifier tube powering this thing. Pair of TV power transformers with the secondaries in series to give me about 1,500 volts at about, oh, I don't know, I had about 400 milliamps. The plates actually would glow red after a while when this thing was on. This thing had on the order of 600 watts of power feeding these tubes, oscillating at 300 kilohertz into 20 turns of 20-gauge wire and a broomstick wound the full length with fine wire as a secondary. And it was quite a gadget. It would light up a fluorescent bulb in your hand a few feet away, 3-4 feet away, full brilliance, just like it was plugged in the wall. And of course, it won first place in the ninth grade science fair next to the frogs and other little things that were there. But it also had another thing. It killed every TV picture for the block, and that made me a little unpopular with the neighbors, I suppose. If it weren't for my father's diplomatic skills, between that and my ham set, I think it probably wouldn't be here. They would have lynched me a long time ago back in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Anyway, thinking back about the way that thing acted, I could put a little, about a foot from the main coil, I could put a 6-inch wire laying on the table and generate 1/2-inch sparks to my fingers from that little piece of wire just laying there. When I think back of the fields that thing was generating, of which I was standing just a couple feet away, played in this field for hours, it was a significant fraction of the breakdown voltage of air, tens of thousands of volts per meter. And I used to play with this thing for hours and hours, and some of my friends tell me that explains some things about me. But anyway, that's the story of the day here. And let me go on to some things about the topic. And the topic is Digilog design. Sort of interesting. I don't know if any of you have done this. It's sort of a thing of desperation sometimes. Here's a typical example. You have a reset lead that's getting reset when it shouldn't be. Say it's a little glitch from EST or some other noise source. Often what I'll do is I'll put a little series resistor in that lead as close to the chip as possible with a capacitor to ground, give it a time constant of a few microseconds. And reset signals usually last a lot longer than that for that example. And that makes it work. Filters out the glitch, whatever it was. I call that Digilog design, a combination of analog and digital. And I do quite a bit of that. And I think sometimes we just add capacitors here and there to slow things down. And I guess that would be an example of Digilog design. I think my first time I ever did that was probably about 40 years ago at Bell Labs. And usually you like to keep the design either analog or digital, but sometimes I found the need to sort of mix them up a little bit. Another example, I suppose, of Digilog design is a gadget I use in all my seminars, or not all of them, but most of them, and that is my little oscillator, and many of you have seen that. The schematic and the plans are up on my website. There's probably the ultimate example of Digilog design. I took an HC240 gate. I think this may be the first article on my website, on dsmith.org. The first one that's listed there. And I took an HC240 gate, made a feedback loop around it, using it almost as some kind of linear thing, and turned it into an oscillator. And I got a little RC time constant there to control the frequency and so forth, and a little bit of a little network there to provide some hysteresis on the input of the oscillator. And definitely Digilog design. I mean, it's certainly a digital part. An HC240 is an octal inverting buffer, and I'm using it with analog components to make an oscillator, and it powers a lot of my experiments. But I'm sure many of you have examples of Digilog design you've used. So that's it for today, and I hope you enjoyed the Unplugged podcast. Thanks for listening.